Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC AM 1080. Anne Baldwin, your host for this morning. I hope you're off to a great day today. And we're going to be talking about an interesting topic. You know, one of the things I always said to myself, I don't remember how many years ago, was never will there be a day when I will buy bottled water. What a crazy concept. What a crazy idea. But now we all do it. I do it. Everybody's carrying around their water bottles. So we're going to talk about water today. It might sound like kind of an interesting topic, but we're going to make it really interesting because we have Ed Ferguson in the house, and he is the Chief Sustainability Officer at Blue Triton Brands. Thank you for coming in. And by the way, thank you for flying in.
Well, thank you for hosting me today. I'm glad to be here. So the weather was welcoming, no travel issues.
Well, good thing you didn't come the last couple of days because we've had some miserable weather. But I really do appreciate you being here. So talk a little bit about your background and how you got into the business that you're in today.
Okay. Personally, I'll need your steering during this as well because I'm an engineer, so I get into the weeds a lot.
Okay.
But I started off my life in chemical engineering, and it steered me into continuous improvement with business, so using less resources to make your products, and it led me into sustainability where I joined Blue Triton Brands about 2 years ago, so leading their sustainability efforts around circular packaging, keeping materials in circulation, water stewardship, making sure the water stays safe from source all the way to sip. And then ultimately your climate footprint or how many emissions or resources you're using to make those products.
Okay, so, we'll dig into that. But yep. you probably should give yourself a little bit more credit than that. So I'll do that. You have a degree in chemical engineering and minors in environmental and energy engineering from Washington University. You've also worked at Anheuser-Busch, so you've got a pretty good proven track record. I went to Colorado State, and they have a big engineering school, right? So I was friends with some of the people like you. Sometimes they were very interesting.
Quirky.
But, you know, I never understood how they got through college with a degree like that. So hats off to you for making it through that. And now you're taking, you know, that ability and that education and you're applying it to water. So let's just start at the bottom. Why is water such a huge issue for everybody? And what is it that most consumers don't know about water? Whether it's the water we drink, the water we bathe in, what is it?
So, well, the importance of water is pretty straightforward. All living things on the planet need it. Mm-hmm. The secondary importance of water is it is often referred to as the universal solvent. It dissolves almost everything. So it's important to industry. It's important to people. And something that's important about water is really the hierarchy of water quality doesn't really percolate into people's minds every day. Because sometimes you just see the water coming out of the tap and mm-hmm. you don't even think about the quality or where
right,
it's coming from.
Right, we take
from,
it for granted.
Yeah. So when you look at the different grades of water, that's where things start to get interesting. And I've been in the beverage industry for a while, so you need quality, safe drinking water quality. You don't just need water that can be applied to the land or otherwise. So that's an area of water that gets interesting is because a lot of people don't think about it every day. They don't have to. They get their water out of the tap and mm-hmm. it's secondary. But us as a water company, that is a primary focus of our business each and every day, from source all the way to sip, making sure the water is quality and consistent.
So let's talk a little bit about Blue Triton Brands. I know, you know, by looking it up on the website, you've got a lot of different brands. So what you do is you take your water and you produce those brands, right? So any brands that we might know?
Maybe. So up here, it's Poland Spring. But yeah, we are a house of brands of water and other really beverages. Hydration solutions. Mm-hmm. Like we have at-home filtration even. So we go all the way from the gamut of packaged water to flavored beverages all the way down to home filtration. So we're a holistic solution for hydration, and bottled water is our biggest segment.
And where do you source your water from?
Oh, a little bit of everywhere. So we have about, first of all, 50 spring sites across the country. North America, so Canada and the U.S. But the springs is the primary source of water. Secondary sources will come from municipals for some of our purified products, but that's sourced around the country. For Poland Spring, if you're up here in the Northeast, that's from Maine. So the vast majority of the water is actually coming from springs up in Maine and or local supplies from the municipal if it's Pure Life.
So are you the only people that can tap into that water? Do you have like a deal with these springs that this is our water, or can other folks and other brands access the same product?
It varies. In a lot of locations, we're actually co-located with municipal supply. So our wells or whatnot would be near the local township supply as well. It actually makes a nice little ecosystem between the two because we look over the water quality very, very closely, and then they can actually rely on some of that data and oversight to make sure their local water supply is good. But it varies by site. If it's near a town, sometimes it's a shared source. If it's more remote, sometimes it's an exclusive source. But groundwater, in a large part, it's all connected. It's like an underground lake or river, really, because it flows. So there is a lot of shared overlap between water, depending on where we're sourcing it from.
What is it that most consumers don't know about the water that they're drinking? Is there a difference? And I know you're going to say that Blue Triton brands are the best, but is there a difference really in that, you know, you go to the supermarket, you want bottled water, you know, I just kind of go with what's ever on sale. Is that the right thing to do?
Yeah, it depends on your needs, but it comes down to if you're drinking water for hydration, which most of us are. Hydration is not just purely the water. It's actually the trace minerals in the water. The water is almost like a transport body for the minerals to get into your system to help you live a healthy life. So an important component of water is actually the mineral content. And that's one of the main reasons that spring water is actually a different category of water per the FDA than purified water.
Better or worse?
Spring water has naturally occurring minerals in it that is unique to each of the locations. So if you drink our water down in Texas under Ozarka, or if you drink Pure Life, which is a purified, or if you drink Poland Springs, they all taste slightly differently because the natural mineralization is different. And that is key to hydration, is the minerals in the water, and the naturally occurring ones help your body function right. You can just drink water with nothing in it, basically distilled water, not recommended. But the minerals are key, and a lot of people just see water as water as water, when in fact it's actually the trace minerals that promote health.
Interesting. The other thing that happens, people come over to my house, can I have a glass of water? I put the ice in and I open up the tap and give them a glass of water. And I know it goes municipality and areas to areas, everybody's water quality is different. How do we know, without having to take it to a lab, if our water quality in our homes out of the faucet is good enough to drink?
So it varies. Depends on where your water's coming from the faucet. If it's your own well, a lot of times that's on you to measure and be aware of. So a lot of times people who are on wells may have services or whatnot that come out and test their water. If you're on municipal water, the municipal systems will actually do the testing. And in some municipalities, you can actually ask them to come out and test your house to see if there's any contaminations coming from the pipe. But they're always testing at the source of the municipal. For us, we act similar to a municipality where we test it at the source. However, it doesn't go through pipes. So we know the quality in the bottle is going to be very, very close to the quality of when it was packaged. But it kind of depends on your source and who kind of owns that source. Mm-hmm. Again, if it's your own well, you do it. If it's municipal, they do it. If it's from us, we do it.
Interesting. You must find, too, that there's some sources that need to be, if it's not pure, if it's not right, what do you do then? If your source, let's say, I don't want to call it contaminated, maybe it is, maybe it doesn't have what you need it to have, then what?
So there's a lot of different ways to basically filter and treat your water. If you're at home and you use a Brita filter, that's an activated carbon filter.
Is that good?
For some of it, if you have solids or if you have organics in your water, which will give an off color or an off taste or off smell, activated carbon will strip those out. So your Brita filter is great for those. However, it's not good for necessarily things like heavy metals or other contaminants that are non-organic. So in those instances, there's other technologies like filters. So nanofilters, microfilters, reverse osmosis, those will actually take out non-organic compounds. So depending on what you test in the water, there's a couple different ways to treat it. The most treated water out there is distilled water, but that's not really good for really hydration purposes because it doesn't have the minerals. That's good for like your ironing. Mm-hmm. Like you don't right. want the buildup on your iron, yeah. so you use distilled water because right. it has nothing in it. Mm-hmm. So the treatments vary, but depend on what you test.
We're speaking with Ed Ferguson. He is the Chief Sustainability Officer at Blue Triton Brands. And one of the other questions is, let's talk a little bit about the packaging. I've noticed lately that it seems like the caps have gotten shorter, you know, harder for me with my crooked fingers to undo. And the bottles seem to just shrink away and dissolve in your hand when you're drinking the water. What's that about?
It's all about resources, how much resource you need to use to deliver the water. The point of our product is to bring safe, reliable hydration to people. It's not to bring necessarily the packaging. The packaging is the format. So as you start improving the format to make sure the water still gets there in the quality need that's needed of consumers or people who are drinking the water, you're going to design out unnecessary material. And there are instances where there's different types of bottle designs, like the sport cap, which has a more robust cap. We know we can't just have the small cap on there because when you're drinking it, running a mile or playing lacrosse, you want something you can squirt in your mouth, so you need a robust cap. In those instances, the packaging is thicker and it's designed for its function. It's almost like the old adage, form follows function. So if you don't need those, a lot of it's removed out, so you're not wasting resources to make this product and ultimately just become a more effective supply chain.
So I've worked a lot on helping the folks at Tomra increase the bottle deposit, increase, you know, the bottle bill, if you've heard of that.
The bottle bounty.
The bottle bounty. Are you guys in support of that? Having to, you know, pay 5 cents now, going up to 10 cents for a bottle of product? What do you think about that?
Yeah, it depends on the situation. We're generally in support of bottle bills or deposit return systems, whatever you want to call them. The challenge is how they're implemented. So to use two states as examples, Oregon and Maine, very similar in terms of how they execute. They have bag drop, they have high performance above 85% of materials collected. However, one is the most expensive system, overall system cost to get materials back, and one is the least expensive system to get materials back. And that's all due to how the bill is structured. So we are in support of it as long as it follows a couple key principles. And one of the key items that we push for is actually producer-led systems, because in Oregon, the producers are responsible for facilitation and also, if there's a need, subsidization of the program. In Maine,
so they bring the bottles back to you directly? Is that what you're saying?
There's a co-op of producers that manage it. So all the distributors out there actually bring it all back, are in charge of recycling it, and bringing it to the market, depending on who is purchasing the rPET. Sometimes that's to bottles, sometimes it's to other applications like fabrics. Connecticut kind of falls in the middle of those two. It's not the best performing. It's not the worst performing. 10 cents will help. But we would like to see some more modifications of the system, allowing things like bag drop. So taking your bottles back, you can do bulk returns, not just one bottle at a time through a vending machine.
I know. That doesn't work half the time.
So yeah, convenient and producer-led are the two things we really hang our hats on, is let us, if we're putting the materials in the market, put us in charge, and then make it convenient for the people so they're actually encouraged to bring it back.
Right. And that's the big struggle, is because, you know, you have to wait and it just piles up and piles up and piles up. And it's so consuming to sit there and then one at a time, put that bottle in there. That is a problem. Let's also talk about what you do as far as maintaining, like, your business. But it sounds like you care about the quality of what you're putting in your bottles.
Yeah, so our business is a bit unique. Most broadly, we're a hydration company because, again, we provide all forms of packaging water all the way down to filtration. But the packaged water gets interesting because 2/3 of our water is self-sourced, meaning we actually manage the springs, or we partner with someone locally who's managing the springs to pull the water, treat it, put it into bottles, and get it to people.
And how do you do that? You put it in a big truck?
It depends. So if you're
depending on where you're at,
if you're really far away, we try not to truck it.
Yeah.
But if you are far away and another spring is running low or something throughout the year, they fluctuate with the seasons, with precipitation. Mm-hmm. So if one, our monitors detect it's running a little lower, we'll switch to a further away source. And in those instances, a lot of times we'll truck it in. But most of the time we try to pipe it directly to our factories or co-locate, because we don't want unnecessary transportation on the road.
How much pushback do you get from communities? You know, there's so many communities. We've seen this all over the news where, you know, one source is taking water for something else, and developments are coming in, and there are water shortages in certain parts of this country. I mean, poor Detroit, that's a piping issue, not as much as a water quality issue. But do you ever have to deal with that? Because how are we doing? You look at the overall picture globally here in the United States and in Canada. How are we? Do we have enough water, or is there a potential shortage for everybody?
So it varies by region and by time. So throughout the Western United States, there's more physical stress there, meaning it's hotter, less precipitation. There is adequate water, but at times it may be low, like we saw last year. The East is slightly different. The Great Lakes region is different. It all depends on how the climate is basically pouring water on a location. So it varies, and that's why at every one of our sites, we monitor the groundwater levels to make sure that there's adequate flow through and we're not compromising the basically ecological system that delivers the water. Because really, at the end of the day, some of these springs, we've been there for 175 years. We have no interest in over-extracting, damaging the aquifer, which then comes out as a spring. So ensuring that that long-term monitoring is in place so you're sustainably using the water is incredibly important. And really, the future, we all don't know. It's a black box.
Right.
But looking at how precipitation patterns will change, some regions are going to have excess water. How do we use the water from those regions better? Some regions are anticipated to have less water, not necessarily inadequate water, but less water. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do we become more water smart in those regions? So it is a question of geography and also time if you're looking at today or into the future. But the key to it is monitoring, watching it closely. Groundwater is much less often watched than surface water, so your streams and lakes. So watching the groundwater levels is important to people on wells, to businesses like ours that use groundwater, even farmers that are using water from the ground for their crops. So it's less frequently looked after, but that's a key component to making sure we have enough and we're extracting it sustainably.
How much attention do you pay, and how do you look at climate change? Do you see it having a drastic impact?
It depends on which projection you look at. Mm. So some of the long-term projections, pessimistic view, we don't do too much. Water patterns are projected to change. So that's why I mentioned the Great Lakes region. That's actually one that's projected to receive significantly more water.
Utah. I mean, look at the issues they're having there with the whole, what's the name of that place? I don't know what I'm talking about. The place where you can go on a houseboat in Utah. I can't remember. All right, forget that. So what should we know as consumers and our listeners? What is some of your best advice when it comes to what kind of water to purchase and what kind of perhaps water not to purchase? What should we be looking at? Is there something on the label?
So I'm obviously biased.
Yeah,
the majority of our business is spring water, the whole natural mineralization in those products, as well as the oversight of the spring site itself, is completely different from how water is managed if you're just buying it from a municipal. So those are the waters that I recommend looking at, is spring waters in general. Obviously, ours would be my preference because I'm biased. But those people using those waters have to watch it much more closely to ensure the water regenerates itself. Whereas if you're just purchasing it from a municipal, sometimes that's a transactional and people have to go out of their way to actually help support the water system that then is feeding the municipal. Mm-hmm. People who are more directly connected to the water, those are usually the brands to look at and trust. And you can learn more by going on their corporate pages or like ours and ultimately trying to drive water awareness, because what we do with springs is very relevant to those on well. Monitoring your water, testing it, putting in your filtration systems. A lot of what we do, 30 to 40 million Americans in the U.S. have to do on a daily, weekly, monthly basis for their own water.
Mm-hmm. So how do we know that something that we're buying is a Blue Triton brand?
So I can quickly run through the brands.
Okay, let's go. Let's see how fast you can do this.
All right, so speed test. Northeast is Poland Springs. Then a little bit south is Deer Park, and we're all along the basically mid-Atlantic. And then we have Zephyr Hills down in Florida, Ozarka in the Texas region, Ice Mountain up in, the central Midwest, and then Arrowhead out west, and then Pure Life is across the entire footprint of the U.S. as well as Canada. So there's a lot of other brands that we have flavors and whatnot added to, but there is a little logo on the back that says bottled by Blue Triton Brands. That's a way to know that it's from us. But those are the brands by region. So if you're traveling and seeing a new water, there's a chance it's likely
why
us.
Why do you just not stick with one brand and sell it everywhere? Why do you do it territorially? Why do you rebrand the product?
So it's because it's local. So we don't ship spring water for the predominant portion of our portfolio. We don't ship it across the country.
Ah.
We want to use the water that's local in a region, and then people are tied to the locality of the spring itself. So if you've never traveled out west, you probably haven't ever seen an Arrowhead. If you haven't traveled to Texas, you probably haven't seen Ozarka, but you're familiar with Poland Springs because those are the springs locally. And that's a big piece of water scarcity for us too, is we're not displacing water. We're keeping it within the region, and people are always going to drink water.
Is there a shelf life to water?
There's a recommended shelf life depending on the packaging format, but the water itself, if it's not in a package, but yeah, usually there is a shelf life communicated because of the packaging.
Okay. So I noticed on your website too, again, we're talking with Ed Ferguson, who is the Chief Sustainability Officer. That's not easy to say, at Blue Triton Brands. I noticed that your company too believes in giving back and supporting a lot of your local communities where your sources are. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so this was actually a journey of self-discovery for myself. When I came into the beverage space a while back, I always took for granted that everybody had water.
Mm-hmm.
More recently, a couple years ago, I became aware of a group called Dig Deep. They did a study where they uncovered about 2.2 million people in America don't have baseline water access. They don't have piped water. They don't have well. They have to bring the water in for themselves. And that's either because of compromised systems that are failing from lack of infrastructure investment, or it's from the infrastructure was never built. So when we look at the water system, first and foremost, we want there to be a reliable form of access for everybody. And then we want to be a product of choice. We want to say, okay, you don't necessarily like your local water taste, or you want to have peace of mind that you don't have to monitor your well water as closely because you're drinking something else that we look over. We want to be that product of choice. But what that means in terms of community is we're that backup access. So if something happens, the municipal system fails, or there's a big natural disaster that comes in, or you're out on the job as a firefighter and it's hard to get water, we are that backup source in those instances of life where people may lose access. So first and foremost, solve the access piece. Like we partnered with Dig Deep now two times. The most recent one we announced earlier this year of $1.1 million contribution to build more infrastructure for houses that have never had access to water. So this is the second time we're doing that with them, and that's kind of the baseline. Get everybody access. The second piece is be that reliable backup supply. So with the wildfires in Maui, we've been a large support bringing water. And then when we go to Flint system, donating water to that community for a while, as well as when the Jackson, Mississippi system failed last year, we came in and provided water while they're working on repairs and getting their systems back up. Because we know you can't turn around repairs that quickly, but you still need water at least every couple days.
So that's part of your giving back.
Exactly. It's a big component of our give back is when water access or traditional access to water fails, we are the source right there to do it. We're nationwide. We have product in almost every single state waiting to go, even ahead of natural disaster or hurricane season. We stockpile inventory to make sure we're ready to serve those communities when things come up. So we like to, one, ensure that there's access in the first place, two, be that reliable backup supply if something comes up.
So that speaks to corporate culture. And isn't that one of the things I think now, especially in this world, we've gotten through COVID, I'm so sick of talking about that. But, you know, as we move on and as we look for jobs and as we go and figure out what we're going to do for the rest of our life, not only to get a paycheck, but to work for a company that you also believe in. It sounds like that's what you do.
Yeah, at Blue Triton, we're all focused on building a better water company. And at the end of the day, that means bringing safe quality hydration to people in the formats that they need. So if they want a reusable 5-gallon jug they can use from a dispenser, great. If they want in-home filtration, great. If they want it delivered to their doorstep, we have Ready Refresh. If they want to buy case pack from the store, we offer a variety of different formats because what we stand for is a better water company, meeting people where they are so they can have safe hydration readily available. And then in the instances where hydration is not available, that's where we come in as a backup supply. Because we make the products that people enjoy, we can be a backup supply when something fails. So there are two components to it. Is consumer choice, address that and have a safe product in nearly every format people want, and then be there when people need us.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe that we just had a 25-minute conversation about water when, again, I swore I would, that's one thing I'll never do is buy bottled water. But it's just, it's become so convenient. And I think for health reasons, it's become even more necessary. I don't know if we've all realized, I know in my younger generation, I don't remember walking around with a water bottle or drinking that much water, but it is such a component of overall health now that people are doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's people are very conscious of what's going into their body, and a lot of people lean towards the pure, the less additives is better. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a drier part of the country, so I always had my water bottle with me. But when I came out east, it was like, people don't carry water bottles around all the time. So that was always a surprise to me, but it's always contextual how you think about water.
Yeah, water bottles and cell phones always got to be with you, right? So where can people find more information if they want to kind of look at the different products that you offer and find out more information about some of the, you know, things that you've already done as far as giving back?
Yeah, so the main outlet is going to be our website, so bluetritonbrands.com. We also have a branch of the business called Ready Refresh. So if you're actually looking for home or office delivery, so you don't necessarily want to go to the store and pick up products, you can have our reusable 5-gallon jugs shipped to you, or other products within our portfolio. So it kind of depends. If you want to pick up yourself, you can go to the store. If you want to find a way to bring it to
your home. Well, it depends on the infrastructure, right? If you're a corporation, you need it in bulk, just like anything else. If you've got a big family, but it is essential. Well, Ed Ferguson, I want to thank you so much for shedding light on water. Like I said, who thought? But it was an interesting conversation. And so keep up the good work over there at Blue Triton Brands and appreciate your time.
And thank you for having me on.
And of course, we want to thank all of you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC AM 1080. I'm Ann Baldwin. Make it a great day.